Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge, and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule. It's just whenever I finish a book, I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed. And sometimes it's when I don't finish a book, which is going to happen this time. But somebody did finish the book. Let me introduce you to my co-host this time out, Juliana. Say hello.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about a book which this is, well, let me put it this way. Let's just back up a bit. There was a book that I wanted to review. I was like, hey, let's review The City of Golden Shadow by, who was the author of that one? Can't remember. Tad Williams. And let's read that. And I read it and finished it. And then about 2 months later, Juliana's like, I finished it. That's great. And then I was like, hey, let's do Aurora. And I started reading. No, this was different, wasn't it? I said, I'm reading Aurora. You'd like this one, I think.
Somebody mentioned it, or I found it on Goodreads and wanted to read it. And then it turns out that you already had it as an audiobook and already started it.
And you said, hey, is this book? Do you think of this book? And I was like, I'm listening to that now.
Yeah, exactly.
Already. So I was like, okay, well, I'll wait for you to finish this. So we've come up with an idea that, because we haven't got to Aurora yet, and it takes a long time for Juliana to catch up with my reading schedule sometimes. It's because normally I listen to it as an audiobook and can get it through it quite quickly. Whereas Juliana, well, you read stuff. Like, really read the stuff.
Well, I really read stuff. And also, currently, I don't have time to read.
Yeah, super busy with work and
setting up my own self-employment.
Finishing university, finishing your diploma and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so reading kind of takes a little bit of a backseat sometimes. But the point being is that from now on, what we're going to do is what we did with this one, is that when we think, hey, let's both read this book, what's going to happen is Juliana is going to read the book and mostly finish the book or get through to the last few chapters. And then I will start. And then whenever I've finished it, then we'll do it, because it's only going to be like a week later that we'll, like, you'll only have finished it like a week rather than like I have now sometimes.
And
like
I might get through
the
last few pages in a week.
Yeah,
maybe
sometimes. But it's not that, I mean, you're reading other stuff as well. It's just like and this is the reason, actually, when I started this podcast, it was always going to be the books that I read when I read them, no schedule. And as soon as you have somebody else who has to read the same book as you, it's really difficult to keep the schedules. I mean, it's going to happen rarely. You know, like even on some of my favorite book podcasts, which is, you know, for example, like the SFF audiobook, most of the times it's just sort of like they do have some read-alongs, actually quite a lot of read-alongs where they're like, three people have read the book and now they're going to discuss it. But even that doesn't happen all the time. It's often like, oh, let's just talk about new releases, or let's talk about this and that, you know. So,
but also they have
And they have short stories. So they'll listen. They'll each have. It'll only take them half an hour to read the story, and then they can talk about it.
Yeah, but they also have a schedule.
Yes,
which makes it more.
They book that schedule a long time in advance. There's a spreadsheet. If you've invited into the spreadsheet, you can see, oh, we're going to do these books. Who's wanting to do a bit of these books? And if enough people put their names next to the books, it's like, okay, now everyone's done that. Now everyone put down what date they can, you know, it's this whole kind of thing. And also it's the same with the Incomparable podcast. When they do their book clubs, they only do it every like 2 months or 3 months. And they're each read like two books each, or sometimes when they do the Hugo nomination ones, they each read four books.
If you're actually a working person, not like you are, I mean, even if I would listen to audiobooks, I don't actually have lots of time where I can actually listen to something. Only if I would go more by public transport, but currently I'm not. So it really is difficult.
I got down to 0 credits on Audible.
Yeah, I know. And I always have like 4 or 5 credits left.
Yeah.
Because the only time when I listen actually to audiobooks is when I go on my 30 minutes drive by car, or 30 minutes drive by U-Bahn.
And I spent 6.5 hours on on a plane today. So I can get through an audiobook in 6.5 hours.
So it's a bit unfair to do it. But I think it is fine.
I'll just watch Mad Max again.
Again.
Yeah.
No, but it's fine how we do it, because I'm not on every podcast.
No,
you have your own schedule.
Unscheduled. This is what I do. Yep. So anyway, let's move on to this book. This is a book which you read. Why did you read this book again? This is Tim Powers, The Anubis Gates.
Someone on Goodreads recommended that one at some point to
me. Was it to you or to the books I would like to see reviewed?
To me.
But people have been requesting Tim Powers for a long time.
The
thing is, Tim Powers, there's only one book of his on Audible in Germany and stuff like that. I think it's called Declare or something like that. So anyway, I've heard a lot about Tim Powers. Very, very highly recommended, or multiply recommended author for me to review. So here we go. I've already given it away that I didn't finish this book, but you just set it off. You say, tell me what you're thinking about this book. When you started it, like what?
So
of you reading it. What was going on in your brain as you went through this?
Somebody recommended that book to me, and because I like reading historical fiction, specifically also set in Egypt, I just like it. I like reading Amelia Peabody, which is an Elizabeth Peters series, and it is about mysteries in ancient Egypt.
Is it set in the modern day, looking back at, or is it just ancient Egypt?
No, it's set in Egypt in the 1930s starting, or like even earlier.
But it's always Egyptology themed.
So I was kind of tricked by the title, because it's called Anubis Gates.
Yeah.
I thought, it's cool. It's about time travel in Egypt. That was what I thought.
That was how it was sold to you, was it?
When I read the title, I didn't really get very much into
it. But why did you make you think it was time travel? Because time travel doesn't come up right away. Was it recommended as a time travel book?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
because
that makes sense.
I kind of also thought there was this other book recommended at the same time, which was Grimson Ken...
Greenwood?
Green...
Called Replay. Is the book called Replay.
And for some reason, that was kind of... Because it was recommended at the same time, or I came up... I found both of these books at the same time, put it on my want-to-read list. So they were kind of in my head, time travel.
Yep.
And I thought,
I think it was just after
Egyptian.
We'd done the Minding Tomorrow book by someone called Luke Burridge. We reviewed that and people said, Replay by Greenwood?
Let me just look it up.
Okay.
Anyway, so I thought...
Time travel was
nice,
in your brain.
Nice, time travel, Egypt, cool. So I started reading it and I read the first thing and it was good. It was fun and I was keeping up with it.
What do you mean the first thing? Like the prologue? The prologue? There's a prologue and then there's the first few chapters.
The prologue. I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
But then when the story started, it was kind of like a story where it was about time travel and it was making sense.
Yeah. It's about a guy who gets signed up to go on a time travel adventure.
He gets paid to do something because he's a scholar about this one author in the 18th century. It's 19th century.
But it's Coleridge, isn't it? The
Coleridge.
Poet, Coleridge.
Coleridge. Oh, okay.
I think it's Coleridge.
I thought was spelled Coleridge.
Bring up the Wikipedia page. You've got the Wikipedia page right
it's
there.
Right here.
It'll say who it is there. It's Samuel Taylor Coleridge, yeah.
Yeah.
1810, they go back
but he's just to attend the lecture by him because he's a specialist on that Aeschylus. William Aeschylus.
No, wait a second. Before you go on, I read this and I started reading this. Let me just say, I've not read to the end of this book. I don't know anything about the story past the first, past the first 15% of this book. He is an expert on Samuel Aeschylus, and he's going, and there's this whole long passage at the start where he's going, William Aeschylus. Yeah, it's like Professor Brendan Doyle, is this professor, and he's written a book about Coleridge, but now he's like, okay, who's this William Aeschylus? He's a poet, and he was there, and it's really mysterious what he went to, and maybe he went to Egypt, or maybe he didn't go to Egypt, but then nobody really knows what he looked like when he was younger, and then he did this, but then he wrote this thing, and it's okay poetry, but nobody really knows him. And I was just like, I've read this before. It's a book called End of Eternity by Isaac Asimov, where they're going, nobody really knows what he looks like. What did he look like when he was younger? And it turns out the guy who goes back in time to find out about it is that person. And I was just reading this going, if this is going to be the big twist at the end, that he's going to go back in time and he is going to be the person that he's going to be, and he's going to turn out that he is William Aeschylus. I'm like, this has been done. There's a book by called Behold the Man as well. I can't remember the name of the author now. A guy who goes back to meet Jesus and actually in the end is Jesus because he realizes that the Jesus that was there. Are you typing in Behold the Man now? Man, not men. And Yeah, so it's the same kind of thing. Go back in time to meet someone. Michael Moorcock, yeah. Go back in time to meet someone that you read about. And it's the same person. I was just like, but how can this be a time travel story? Because I knew it was time travel because going into it, Anubis Gates, they're going back in time. I was like, how can this be a time travel where the big twist is that they go back in time and meet the person and it's actually him? I was like, this has been done like many times before in science fiction. Anyway, what face are you pulling at me there?
Well, it's unfair because I've never read a book like that before. And I mean, it took me quite a while into the book to actually understand what was going on, mainly not only because it was a straight this is a time travel story where this guy turns out to be the guy, but it was because so much stuff happened around it.
There was lots of crazy stuff going on as well, confused. But I'm just saying, if that was going to be one like a big part of the story going on, that he's going to go back in time and then some other time stuff happens and then he gets stranded in the past and he's like, well, now I'm living here, let's go into London and make my fortune. I just stopped reading at that point. I was like, yeah, like he's going to be William Ashbless, this is going to be it.
But yeah,
I
knew that was more to it.
I know there's a bit more to it, but like that was what was being set up when he was reading about William Ashbless right at the start. And I was just thinking, this is so obvious when they're saying there are no pictures of him when he was younger, nobody really knows where he came from. I was like, he's a time traveler. And then as soon as he goes back to that time, I was like, and that's him, that's it, there's no problem.
But it is slightly different to
I'm
that.
Sure there's
and
something
more,
slightly different.
There is more depth to that, actually.
Okay.
But I didn't get that, because it's normal that if you're a scholar, you don't find all the paper, all the bits, and it gets lost.
But at the beginning of a book, why would they be repeating? Like, why would they mention the fact that nobody knew what he was doing when he was younger and then he came out of nowhere? And then it's a time travel book. You're like, there is only one way this book can go. That's the only, there's only one thing. There's only one thing that can happen, and that was it. And I was like, is that going to be it?
Yeah, but the problem is that it's not only a simple time travel.
I know there's more going
so
on.
There's so much more. There's like this really big thing of sorcery.
Okay,
which
let's
is
get into that as well. Because
where you think, this is the Egyptian thing. And you think, there's actually some Egyptian stuff going on. Turns out, no, not really.
Somebody goes to Egypt. They go to Egypt at the beginning. There's some Egyptian stuff going on at the start in the prologue kind of area.
Yeah, but it's not really taking place in Egypt. It's taking place like in lots of places, not just...
Okay, so the book has got lots of stuff in it. It's not just a time
travel
book.
Loads of stuff.
Exactly. And I realized that was going on as well at the start. And I didn't realize how much it was going on, but it was just like, and then there's gypsies over here and a golem over here and some magic over there. And then they're doing this other stuff over here. And there's other... It was just loads of crazy stuff going on.
It's just crazy stuff. And also, I think he just puts everything in the book that he thinks is cool.
Yeah.
Like, he likes sorcery. He likes, I don't know, weird puppets.
And that goes in.
He likes weird people, like, controlling the streets from underneath the streets.
And okay.
People on stilts who can't touch the floor. And some other, like, some things like, kind of, how would you call it? If you double a person.
Doppelganger.
Yeah, kind of. If you...
That's the English word, not just the German
really?
Word. Yeah, we call them doppelgangers in English too. It's
how
not just
weird.
German, yeah?
Anyway, so if you... No, if you... How's that... That sheep that was doubled... How do you call that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like if you take the DNA and it's the same...
A clone.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Some cloning going
Some
on.
Some cloning going on.
But there's golem
on.
Stuff where they make someone out of clay and... Oh, there's a doubling.
Well, it's not clay. It's
it's not?
Sometimes wax, sometimes wood,
okay.
Sometimes... diamonds.
Anyway, two versions of the same person walking around is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. And well, that was kind of clear from this. That was kind of clear from the start, I think, in that prologue where they're going, and I'm going to send one of you back over here and do this.
So they're two doctors, kind of. And but it is so difficult to keep up with where you are, what is going on. And it is also not only that, but it is also then a really big adventure thing where he has to run away from things, and then there's some other bits and pieces
like
where you find out
stuff.
This person is that person, and holy shit, that was so, like, if I were having to say how exhausting a book was, this was very exhausting.
The most exhausting book, just so much
very
stuff
much
there.
So much stuff going on, and also so confusing. I know it's just not like a straight-on story. It's like a story in a whirl with some spikes or something.
A world with spikes.
Yeah, like if you have a swirl, if you don't have a straight line of a story.
Oh, okay, so it's like a graph which has got lots of jagged edges on the graph. It goes here and then it goes
and
back
it
down
also
here
goes in a circle.
Okay.
And I don't know. I didn't really get any of. I'm not really sure why this book was there.
Why it was written.
Yeah.
It was just a collection of. It was funny that I was like, "Hey, you've got it on your iPad as an ebook." I was like, "Normally you have." Normally you have like lots of notes and stuff, and we go through the notes. I was like, "Hey, now look up your notes." And what happened? You look through?
No notes, no highlights.
This is really strange for you to read a whole novel and not have any notes and any highlights.
Yeah, because I've read chunks of it, and then I don't know. There was not really anything to say about it.
Right.
Do you have any notes?
Yes, I have two notes. First of all, the only note on this passage is no, and it says this. It says they're talking about this time travel machine that they have, which is this weird thing because it's like there's fantasy stuff, and you're like, oh, there's this thing, and there's these different layers and these different areas of different disruptions and stuff, and it's all magical. It all feels very magical, and they're like, and then to get them there, we're going to put people on this platform and then blast them with really, really high power radiation. It's going to just totally dissolve them, but instead of killing them all, it'll send them to the past. And I was just like, what? And I didn't understand, like, how are they doing this? And it was like, oh, yes, and I've just used science to come up with this. And it's like, you spent all this time and you've just used, like, science. Like, there was nothing more except, I'm using science and I've come up with this time travel. And it's like, and we tested it this morning. It's like, so you tested it on somebody and it can only work with, like, a human who's going to go back in time. But really what you're doing, you're asking people to, you're asking a bunch of millionaires, because that was, it's like a touristy thing. So you're going to get a bunch of millionaires to stand in a place and then have really high-powered radiation just like blasted at them, which would kill them, except that there's some field and it's going to... And I was just reading this going, I don't mind quirky time travel. I don't mind unexplained time travel. You know, the things like Groundhog Day. It just keeps going back in time. Not explained, don't care. Like, all this other time travel. You get into a DeLorean, you go 80 miles an hour, 88 miles, whatever... And you just go back and I'm like, fine.
And then
I don't
the,
need
the
to know
flux
capacitors and stuff like that. So so all of this stuff is I don't mind silly time travel. But when it's this stupid, it's like literally stand in the line of this deadly radiation. And trust us, you've paid us millions of pounds. But just trust us, you're not going to die. You're actually going to go back in time. I'm like, who would sign up for that? And this guy is just like, yeah, do this. It says, there's this little bit here. It goes, each guest will swallow a capsule just before we go of something I'd like to call anti-transchronotrauma, ATCT. And so it's just like, oh, yeah, and... The idea, and I just put this no, because the idea is this is a deadly capsule to make sure that nobody escapes and just goes running off around in history.
Yeah.
Not only are these millionaires each spending millions of pounds to go back in time and listen to a lecture by Coleridge and then just come back into the present day, they're not doing anything. To make sure that they don't change anything back in time, they're not only being blasted with deadly radiation and just surviving because of magic-y technology. Yeah. They're each taking poison pills, and then 6 hours later, they have to take another pill which doesn't exist back in the past. They have to get back into the modern day to take the pill. I'm like, who signs up to get into, literally to get into a death trap and take death pills and spend millions of pounds each for the privilege of it? And then, like, who would you ever just say to someone, hey, we've got this machine, which may or may not kill you by blasting with radiation, but before you're allowed to get into there, you've got to give me £1 million and I'm going to give you this poison, and you're going to only get the antidote back if nothing goes wrong at all. Like, otherwise you're dead in like 3 or 4 different ways.
No, of course I wouldn't do that. But
it's just crazy. I was just reading this going, this is pathetic. Like,
they set it up that this guy is obviously a very popular guy to...
Darrow, is it?
Yeah, no, the how do you call it? Coleridge? The guy, the lecturer.
Doyle.
Coleridge.
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 Yeah.
So these millionaires are really keen to go there. It's like,
are they
it's
keen like enough to get into a death trap and take poison and give millions of pounds?
But it's like people meeting up and paying lots of pounds and millions
nobody cares about
Jane Austen or whatever.
No, nobody cares about Coleridge. A Coleridge lecture. They don't even get to meet. Oh, they have like a question and answer. But then Doyle goes, each guest agreed to these conditions. I think most of them have guessed what they mean. And maybe they haven't, Doyle thought. Suddenly the whole project looked like a lunacy again. And he imagines himself in court someday soon trying to explain why he hadn't informed the police about Darrow's intentions. And I was like, yeah, like, forget about Darrow's. No, don't worry about going to the police or not. Don't take the poison pills and get into the death machine. Like, and then don't go back in time and get stra- like, it's like everything about this. So that was one, my only note was like about the anti-trans chrono trauma. In other words, poison pills.
Yeah.
And then get the antidote later. I was like, nobody signs up for that. And they say, oh, I think they all know what it means, but they're all signed up. They're all happy for it. I was like, how is this a good deal for anyone except for the author? Because he wants to tell a quirky time travel story. Yeah. Another thing a bit later on, and I just made a note here, he awakened from a dream from last night, feeling the old Honda shift horizontally, horrifyingly sideways on wet pavement, and then spill him onto the horizontal tumble of shocking velocity. Hearing Rebecca's scream end instantly at the first punching impact of the asphalt, and I was like, "Oh, so we've got a character whose wife died in a crash."
Yes,
I hate it in the opening chapters of a book to get me to feel sympathy for someone. Is to have them just have a wife just killed.
I never felt sympathy for Doyle.
No, I didn't. But it's like, so why are we reading about his wife dying in a bike accident? Like,
I don't know.
I don't like it.
It's like, to why? Show that he has some trauma.
Yeah, it's fake trauma. It's unearned. Like, I read this book once, and in the opening chapter, the female character was just raped, and she was like, "Oh, I've been raped," and it was like, you can't just rape your main character in the opening chapter just to make me feel like she's got depth or complexity. You can't just like have someone's wife die in the first chapter just to make me feel something. Like, what am I meant to feel? Like, what is it doing there? Like, why is that in the story? Maybe if I would have read past, you know, the first 10% of the 20% of this book, about 15% of the book, I would have found out more about that.
There's one character that I feel like kind of attached to.
Okay.
Which is the young girl. Boy, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, of course, shifting how like it's a mystery about her. And she's the one that I was attached most.
Okay.
And so guess what?
What?
In the end, what do you think?
She gets raped.
No.
Oh no, I was just saying they're talking about, you know, what happens? She dies?
No.
What happened, sir?
Well, think about the story at the beginning of Ash Bless. What's part of the story?
I don't remember. I read it.
His wife.
Ash Bless's wife.
Hmm.
So that's Rebecca. She's Rebecca.
No.
The young girl is Rebecca in the end.
Not Rebecca. Rebecca doesn't play anything.
Oh. So she's a love interest of Ash Bless.
Yeah. Ash Bless has a wife.
Yeah.
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 And in the end, it turns out what? That
She's Ash Bless's wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they meet on their journey in the
and it's that
tumbling time travel,
so
whatever.
So she's Doyle's love interest in the end.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, I don't know these characters, but, so, but you found it a bit disappointing.
It's a bit spoilerish what we do there.
I don't mind. The thing is, this book doesn't... Anyway, so let's get back onto what we're talking about now. I listened to the latest Incomparable podcast, which was called the recent book club. I really enjoy their book clubs. I clicked on the wrong one. Let's go back one. The Incomparable, the latest episode was episode 267. Hey, they're almost catching up with me here on the SFBRP. So it's called I Read It All. Book Club reconvenes to cover two books. Neil Stevenson's Seven Eves, which I read and reviewed. Did I review it with you? I can't remember if you were around. I stopped in part three, and they were like, "Oh, this is like a trilogy where the first two books are, like, it's all included in one." Other people saying, "No, it was just a really good story with like a really long, boring, like unsatisfying
middle
epilogue."
Part.
And I'm so glad that I didn't finish that third part. And it's one of those weird things that in this case, they were like confirming to me that third part just wasn't for me, and I was good. It was good that I stopped at that point, because there was like another, you know, 6 hours worth of audiobook that I just didn't listen to, and judging by what they said about it on that podcast, which was very fun. It's a good group. The book club is always good because it's everyone reading a book. Now, normally when they go, who wants to discuss this movie? And it's all the people who like the movie get together to discuss the movie. Whereas the book club is like, who wants to do the book club episode? I do. And then they all read it. And invariably, half the people hate the book and half the people find it okay. And then one person will really love it. In this case, nobody really loved it. But some people had better things to say about it, which was quite interesting. That was really interesting to listen to them talk about the end of the book, which I skipped. And it was a good confirmation to me. It's like, yes, I did a good thing not continuing. Because what they hated about the book, I would have also hated judging by what they said about the rest of the book, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And what they said about what I read confirms to me that they didn't like that last bit means that I also wouldn't have liked that last bit. And it was good that I didn't keep reading it. Good. Now, the other podcast that I listened to recently on this last work trip was called Reading Envy, Paranoid Squint, episode 039. And this is one that, when you actually read this, Jenny sent you a message saying, oh, I'm talking about that on an upcoming Reading Envy podcast, which she'd already recorded, but hadn't released until a few episodes after your episode. And it says, Jenny is joined by Fred, who wanted to talk about his greatest writing inspiration, Tim Powers. Jenny squeezes a few big books in at the end. Now, the book that they talk about most going into this or through this is, of course, The Anubis Gates. And Fred was really enthusiastic about this book. And he was like, oh, it's great. Everything's in there. You got the sorcery.
Yeah, and that's
like
the thing.
He went on and on about this book, how great it is. And literally everything that he said about this book, I was going, oh, man, I'm so glad I didn't read further to read more about that.
Because the thing is, I'm not sure if I like books that have just everything in it. I like it if books decide to have to concentrate on a certain topic. And this book just doesn't concentrate on anything. It's not a time travel book. It's not historical fiction. It's not adventure. It's not fantasy. It's just everything.
But can that not be a good thing?
Have
you read a book which is just a bit of everything put in there? Okay, for example, this time we're reading the Otherland book. Now, that has got, you know, it's virtual reality, it's got some cyberpunk stuff, it's got intrigue.
It is virtual reality. And so
but they're
the
going
fantasy...
back, they're in time, and they're doing fantasy stuff, and they're going into science fictional things and fantasy things.
But it is part of the computer, so it is not just in the real world where everything is taking place.
Like, there is somewhere where there are some rules that...
Exactly, so there is the real world where there is no sorcery, where there is no fantasy.
But I just read through The Sandman, or Sandman by Neil Gaiman, which is a big comic, and there's gods and there's magic and they're going into different
realms. And I don't like that either.
You don't like that?
I don't like this weird... I mean, I don't know The Sandman, but I'm not like a... You know, the Avengers and Thor and this kind of things?
Yeah, but that's just comic book stuff. That's just a mismatch of stuff.
Yeah, but... If you write a fantasy story and it's a fantasy world, you set up the rules. Even in a fantasy world, there are rules.
Well, they don't have to be explicit rules.
Yeah, they don't have to be explicit, but they're not like in our world.
Yeah, but it's a world which, when you're reading it, when stuff happens, like. Yeah, like if you're reading a fantasy book and then just anything can happen, it's really difficult to care what happens if anything can happen.
And then it becomes kind of boring.
Yeah.
You know, if you... It's not like you know in advance that this and this is kind of not going to work. Mm. But if everything can just work, it's, well...
If anyone can pull out a magic spell.
Yeah. And in this book, there's so much stuff going on that it is really hard work to get through it.
Yeah.
This is how I felt, how this book felt to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But so you didn't enjoy it? Or were you enjoying it when you were reading it?
You know, there's kind of like if you are... fascinated by, not disgust, but I would say I was fascinated by...
You're watching a car crash, like train wreck.
No,
not, it wasn't
not that bad.
Okay.
But I kind of wanted to get behind what was going on. That was more the reason.
Ah, okay.
So I wanted to find out what is actually the stuff with the Egyptian stuff, what is actually going on.
Did you ever find out about it?
Yeah, you kind of find out about it, but it's not satisfying, really.
Oh, that's pretty. So I don't have anything else to say about this because I only read 15% or 10%, 15% of the book.
Yeah.
So I don't have very much else to say, but I just wanted to get something on my podcast because so many people have asked me to review Tim Powers. And I'm like, this isn't the book. So maybe I'll just say, is there a Tim Powers book which isn't just crazy and like he doesn't set up the twist in the opening chapter for me just to read it and go, well, I know if this is a time travel book, he becomes the person he's reading about now. If, I mean, if there's a book where there's, I know there's more to the book than that, but it felt like this was the, it was leading off with this. It's like, right, this goes, and then he goes back in time, and I'm like, well, I know what's his twist is going to be. I know what his main quest that's being set up in chapter one. Yeah. I know how that's going to pay off.
I think what he does is like, he's setting up that in the beginning, and for people like you who notice immediately, ah, these are the parallels, I know what's going to happen. And he's then putting in like the left and right and confusing things.
Yeah.
To then kind of...
So you're saying it's red herrings all the way down.
What?
Red herrings.
What's that?
Oh, well, it means it's something that specifically doesn't mean anything, but it intentionally doesn't mean anything. So every mystery story, if the only clues that you ever saw... like the only people that they interviewed, they just found the killer straight away.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. So in every mystery, there's lots of different red herrings. They'll talk to this person. Oh, they're sure it's that person.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, that person wasn't involved at all and they were over here. That's what you call a red herring.
Oh, right.
In an English expression.
He's setting up traps.
No, it's not a trap. A red herring is just something that doesn't matter, but has to be in the book.
All right.
Because if everything in the book matters... It's like an Alistair Reynolds book. There are no red herrings. Everything in the book matters. Like everything has a function. There's such an economy of character. Like every character that turns up has a function. And mystery stories can't do that because like we watch these mystery things all the time, like Castle. And it's like we know who's going to be the killer. It's always the guy who walks in with the other person who turns out not to be the killer. It's like, well, why did they introduce us to the secretary? Well, it's obviously the secretary. Like, why did they introduce us to the property manager there? It's like the property manager had no business being there. So that person
has to be the killer.
Like, but if they weren't, it would be a red herring because you're like, oh, that's the killer. Oh, no, it's not. And that's the red herring. It's not a trap.
It's a literary device. Like that. It's not quite like that because it is more like he's setting up the whole story at the beginning.
Like the author.
The author.
Yeah.
And you know, not me, but you know immediately what's going on. And then if you would have continued reading, he would have had so many different things set up that in the end you kind of get confused by what's actually going on.
Yeah.
But still you have it in your head, in the back of your head. Oh, actually what's going on is this. But he's like painting. If you like paint a straight line and then paint lots of...
Squiggly lines over it.
Can you still see the straight line through?
You mean there was still a straight line that went through, but it was just, it had lots of other lines scribbled on top of it.
And this is exactly how that
feels. So the story didn't have a shape. Like the story itself didn't have a shape that was going up and down. The story was straightforward, and then it just had lots of other up and down stuff drawn on top of it.
Yeah, that's kind of how it felt like.
That's kind of a weird word. So all the time you're reading, you're like, well, there's a story going on, but there's like scribble. It's like someone was scribbling in your brain while you're actually trying to read a good story.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah. Okay, I understand.
I would call it that way.
Now, I didn't finish books. So I'm not going to give this book a rating. You did finish this book. What would you rate it?
Well, I gave it 3 stars, but it is weird sometimes.
You did. The thing is, Goodreads, you can't give it 2.5 stars. So it's either going to be a 2 stars or 3 stars.
Yeah.
And it was really a 2.5 star book for you, wasn't it?
I mean, I did finish it and I did probably enjoy parts. But now, looking backwards, I only have certain scenes in my head, which were like kind of fascinating, terrifying weirdness.
Like horror stuff, was it?
No, not horror. But like you have walking clowns on stilts, and a boat chase on ice, and
how does that work?
Exactly.
Okay.
So people cloning people and just other things going on.
So there is fun stuff in there.
There is fun stuff, but it's just too much.
But the characters,
too much squiggle, wiggles. Wiggles.
Too many lines being squiggled over the straight line.
Yeah.
And you wanted a story arc. You wanted a line that went,
something down nice.
The
toy.
Or you wanted something that goes,
I actually wanted some more Egyptian stuff in it. It's called
the Anubis Gates. You're thinking it's going to be Anubis-y.
And I kind of felt tricked that I was thinking it's like some more Egyptian stuff going on. And it turns out, no, it's not.
Well, I'm very sorry about that. So we're going to give it two stars or 2.5 stars. Which one is it going to be? I didn't finish it. I can't give it a rating. This is all down to you. This is what I do at the end of every book.
2.5 stars.
2.5 stars.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Well, that's it. That's the end of this podcast. I said I didn't have very much to talk about it. We still managed to get, 35 minutes out of this. So, next book. I finished Aurora. Juliana has got 100 pages left. She'll finish it by next week, probably.
Hopefully.
I've almost finished a book, another time-travel-y kind of a time travel-y book called The First 15 Lives of Harry August. And I'll talk about that when I review that, because this is another book where I kind of like worked out the premise and then I was like, oh, I know what's going to happen through to the end of this book. And it kind of is happening. But obviously way better than The Anubis Gates, because I'm actually really enjoying this book, where even though I know I kind of worked out where it was going all the way through to the end, it's good. Anyway, we'll get onto that one. What other books have you got over there?
The Lieutenant of Darkness.
Yeah, I've reviewed that already on the podcast.
I know. There's not really a lot of other books that I...
Oh, we're going in tomorrow. No, in 2 days' time, we're going to see The Martian movie. So we might do a podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe do a podcast talking about the movie The Martian, because we really enjoyed the audiobook of that. We gave it 5 stars, I think, after listening to it together as an audiobook on a journey a few years ago. That was like almost 2 years ago, wasn't it?
2000. Was it?
Yeah, it was New Year's. So it was the beginning of 2014. We reviewed it. And it's now coming to the end of 2015. So I was actually just in... Oh no, I'll talk about that on the podcast. If we do the podcast, I'll talk about where I was yesterday.
In the episode.
So that'll be fun. And I was looking at other books, and some other books that I've been reading have been nonfiction, which I'm doing a reading envy podcast recording with Jenny in a few days' time. So look out for that one too as that comes up. So that's it for me. You can become our friends on Goodreads. You can follow what I'm reading on Goodreads. You can follow what Juliana's reading on Goodreads as well. You can find us there. Become my friend. Also sign up or join the Goodreads SFBRP listener group and recommend books. This is what happened with The First 15 Lives of Harry August. Someone said, hey, you should read this book. And someone else said, yeah, you should. And I was like, okay. And now I'm reading it. That's the way it does. Recommend a book. Have somebody else agree with you. And that's how I get it. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Burridge on Twitter. Follow Juliana on Twitter as well. She's J-U-K-U Berlin. Is that right?
Right.
At J-U-K-U, which is Juliana Kunzendorf is a real name,
right.
So, which is why she didn't use that as a Twitter name, because Juliana Kunzendorf might be a little bit, it's a quite long as well, quite a long name. So,
but did I ever tell you that I'm the only person with that name on the whole earth?
Juliana Kunzendorf.
I am me as an individual. There's nobody else with my name.
That's weird. I'm actually on Facebook. I went through and I searched for everyone called Luke Burridge on Facebook, and there was 3 other people called Luke Burridge on Facebook. So I became their friends, and I think 2 of them are still my friends. I guess one of them said, no, I'm not your friend anymore a while ago. I couldn't keep track. But it's quite funny. Every single time I'm on Facebook, and someone comes up and says, Luke Burridge has been here. And I'm like, what? No, I haven't. Or Luke Burridge is doing this. And one of the Luke Burridges obviously gets drunk with friends quite often. Other people obviously steal his phone and then post things to Facebook as him. So there's like this different layers of Luke Burridge is this. And I'm like, no, it's not. And even if I was, I wouldn't say that, because, yeah, it's like these different, different dual layers of not me identity trickery of myself by becoming my own... becoming friends with everyone else. Anyway, forget that. It's some weird experience you can have in your life when
somebody else has your name.
Yeah, when someone... Well, for example, there's this one time where I honestly thought I was like trapped in time or something. It was because I have a twin brother, and I once went to see a show that he was involved in, and he'd been working with people for like 3 weeks doing this theater training.
Yeah.
And he was doing like this graduation after this 3 weeks of training, and he was one of the leaders there, so everyone knew him. And then I turned up to see it, and most people didn't know that he had a twin brother, because they'd only known him for 3 weeks and there's no reason to know him.
Yeah.
So I turned up and everyone was going, oh, Nathan, there you are. Can you help out with this? Oh, and I was just going, oh, no, I'm not Nathan. I'm his identical twin brother. And they're like, yeah, very funny. Now come over here and do this. And I was like, nobody believes me. Nobody believes that I'm not Nathan. I was like, maybe I am Nathan. No, I wasn't thinking that. But it was one of those weird times where I was just like, this is really crazy how... It felt like, you know, in Back to the Future, where he goes back in time and everyone treats him differently and his mother's different and he's got another dad and all. It's like, wow, I'm in a situation and nobody believes that I'm me, and everyone thinks that... Because it was a theatre thing, so it's the kind of thing that you do like, I'm going to pretend not to be me. I'm going to pretend to be my identical twin brother, which, of course, he wasn't. It's just it was just happening, you know.
I think it felt
like I was in a science fiction movie where I turned up somewhere and everyone thought I was in a different situation. I was like, no, my reality, like the reality checking function in my brain, it was freaking out. It was like I was in an optical illusion, because I was like, no, reality is this, but my eyes say this, my brain
is
saying this.
I know I'm this person. How can I prove this?
Nobody believes that I am me. You just Googled yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you should do that from time to time to see what comes up. And, well, it's mostly me with music. Anyway, I would totally love to feel the same and have these experiences.
What? Science fictional experiences?
Science fictional twin person.
It's only happened to me a few times in my life where it's actually been where it's freaked me out. Other people have been freaked out by being a twin, by me and Nathan being twins, but that was only one of two times where I myself was freaked out about people's reaction about me being a twin, not knowing I was a twin, and then
but I think if anything is put up in your life, this is very science fiction-y.
But I got myself an Apple Watch, and now I live in a science fiction future there as well.
Right.
It was pretty weird.
We should really wrap up this podcast.
Yes, yeah, because we said, I don't have much to say. I've only got like maybe 5 minutes to talk about this. Mm. I thought you'd have more to talk. You did have a lot more to say about it, but more than me to say about it. Anyway, yeah, it's gone on about 40 minutes here about a book that I only read 10% of. Okay, 2-star book. That's it for me. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.